Welcome to Words to Live By, a podcast series hosted by the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation and Institute. Each week, we'll share some of the wit and wisdom of Ronald Reagan. In essence, words to live by, made up of radio addresses and speeches he delivered from the 1960s through the 1980s.
Constitution Day commemorates the formation and signing of the U.S. Constitution by 39 brave men on September 17, 1787, recognizing all who are born in the U.S. or by naturalization that have become citizens. On Constitution Day, Americans are encouraged to observe this important day in our nation's history by celebrating activities, learning, and demonstrations of our love for the United States of America and the blessings of freedom our founding fathers secured for us. On September 7, 1988, President Reagan issued Proclamation 5851, calling out the week of September 17th as Citizenship Day and Constitution Week, saying, "Two centuries or more ago, America was blessed with the vision of freedom and with the will and ability to achieve and sustain it for posterity. We founded a republic in which we, the people, would set limits on the power of government and not the other way around, in which government would be forever bound to respect and to preserve life and liberty for everyone alike. The nation thus began was no accident, but rather the creation of men and women of character, idealism, and incredible capacity for self-sacrifice in our country's cause. All throughout our history, in peace and in war, Americans have loved and labored in defense of our independence and our rights. For these reasons, and because freedom has enemies in every generation, Citizenship Day and Constitution Week ought to remind each of us that we must never take for granted our existence as a free land. The men of genius who pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor as they signed our Declaration of Independence did not take our liberty or our citizenship as Americans for granted. Neither did those who painstakingly framed our Constitution and held for the Bill of Rights during our days as a fledgling nation. Those who have served and sacrificed in uniform through the centuries have surely taken the blessings of liberty very seriously. So have the millions of immigrants who have braved countless obstacles to reach the safety and freedom of our shores. Remembrance of the heritage of liberty and love of country embodied in our citizenship and Constitution is our duty and delight as Americans." Let's now listen to President Reagan's remarks at the bicentennial celebration of the United States Constitution on September 16, 1987.
When George Washington was elected as the first president of the United States, the total population of the country was nearly 4 million. Today, there are over 5 million federal employees. Times have changed. But the basic premise of the Constitution hasn't changed. It's still our blueprint for freedom. One of our more able statesmen and constitutional lawyers, Daniel Webster, once wrote, "We may be tossed upon an ocean where we can see no land, nor perhaps the sun or stars, but there is a chart and a compass for us to study, to consult, and obey. The chart is the Constitution." 200 years ago, the very notion of free self-government was a new idea. But James Madison, a man who many call the father of the Constitution, urged his fellow citizens not to oppose the idea simply because it was new. He argued that it was the glory of the American people, that they were not blindly bound to the past, but were willing to rely on their own good sense and experience in charting the future. It's interesting that Madison and others had to defend the Constitution because it was new. Times have changed. For over 200 years, we've lived with freedom under law, and perhaps we've become complacent about it. We should never forget how rare and precious freedom is. Active and informed citizens are vital to the effective functioning of our constitutional system. All of us have an obligation to study the Constitution and participate actively in the system of self-government that it establishes. This is an obligation we owe not only to ourselves, but to our children and their children. And there is no better time than right now, during the next 4 years of the bicentennial, to rededicate ourselves to the Constitution's and values it contains. Let us never forget that the signers of the Declaration of Independence acted with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. 100 years ago, on the occasion of the centennial of the Constitution, another president, Grover Cleveland, accepted the privilege that I have been given here today to honor the Constitution, and his words are as true now as they were then. He said, "When we look down upon 100 years and see the origin of our Constitution, when we contemplate all its trials and triumphs, when we realize how completely the principles upon which it is based have met every national need and national peril, how devoutly should we say with Franklin, 'God governs in the affairs of men.'" And now, Stephanie, Damien, Brian, Thais, would you join me and everybody here and everybody watching and listening throughout the land as we recite the words that we all know by heart, the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
More from President Reagan after this message.
The Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation is the nonprofit organization created by President Reagan himself and specifically charged by him with continuing his legacy and sharing his principles: individual liberty, economic opportunity, global democracy, and national pride. We must remain vigilant and work together to share these conservative principles with younger generations. Your role is critical to move our mission forward. Thank you for your continued support. Please visit reaganfoundation.org/give. That's reaganfoundation.org/give.
Speaking of the Constitution in 1981, President Reagan reminded us that it is our blueprint for freedom, our commitment to ourselves and to each other. He continued, "Each of us has a personal obligation to acquaint ourselves with it and with its central role in guiding our nation. While the Constitution may set forth rights and liberties, only the citizens can maintain and guarantee those freedoms. Active and informed citizenship is not just a right, it is a duty." Let's now listen to President Reagan as he discussed the importance of our Constitution.
Thank you all very much. Please be seated and welcome to the old Executive Office Building. That's why I'm late. I was waiting for you in the Rose Garden. Well, Chief Justice Burger, ladies and gentlemen, I want to start out by congratulating you contest winners. You have all accomplished something very fine, and you have a right to be very proud. I'm sure your families are proud of you. History's no easy subject. Even in my day it wasn't, and we had so much less of it to learn then. But one of the most valuable benefits of a study of the past is that it gives you a perspective on the present. I think it's probably true that every generation, every age, is prone to think itself beset by unusual and particularly threatening difficulties, and to look back on the past as a golden age when issues were not so complex and politics not so divisive and when problems didn't seem so intractable. Sometimes we're tempted to think of the birth of our country as one such golden age, a time characterized primarily by harmony and cooperation and reason. Well, in fact, the Constitution and our government were born in crisis. As I'm sure you all discovered in your research, the years leading up to our Constitutional Convention were some of the most difficult our nation ever endured. The economy was near collapse. Trade disputes between the individual states threatened to send it over the brink. A steadily increasing number of farm foreclosures led to an uprising of poor farmers in Massachusetts, led by a former Revolutionary War captain, Daniel Shays, Shays Rebellion. Meanwhile, pirates from the Barbary Coast plundered our shipping, seemingly at will, and our young nation was surrounded on almost every side by none too friendly neighbors. To many by that time, it was clear that the Articles of Confederation could not hold our nation together. And as Henry Knox said, the poor, poor federal government is sick unto death. Well, even so, there was in 1787 no general agreement in our land as to how a stronger federal government should be constituted, or indeed whether one should be constituted at all. There were strong secessionist feelings in many parts of the country. In Boston, some were calling for a separate nation of New England. Others felt the 13 states should divide into three independent nations. George Washington himself was amazed to find in New England continuing strong sentiment in favor of a monarchy. It wasn't the absence of problems, but the presence of vision that won the day in 1787. And it wasn't the absence of division, but the presence of something higher, those self-evident truths for which so many had recently had to fight and die, that allowed men to transcend their differences, to come together, to produce a document that would change the world. It was then, in 1787, that the revolution truly began. For it was with the writing of the Constitution, setting down, as it were, the architecture of democratic government, that the fine words and brave rhetoric of 1776 took on substance, that the hopes and dreams of the revolutionist would become a living, enduring reality. All men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Until that moment, that was just a high-blown sentiment, the dreams of a few philosophers and their hot-headed followers. But could one really construct a government, run a country, with such idealistic notions? But once those ideals took root in living, functioning institutions, once those notions became a nation, well, then, as I said, the revolution could really begin, not just in America, but around the world, a revolution to free man from tyranny of every sort and secure his freedom the only way possible in this world, through the checks and balances and institutions of democratic government. Wasn't it Daniel Webster who said at one point to maintain our Constitution, for if the Constitution should ever fall, there would be anarchy throughout the world? That revolution has been so successful that even those tyrannies that in practice reject every ideal and moral precept upon which our country is founded, even they put on the pretense of democracy, aping our Constitution and its democratic forms. We know only too well that the ideals of our founders still wait to be fulfilled throughout much of the world. We read the headlines, we see the great problems, the divisions, and some lost hope. But in 1987, as in 1787, success will not depend on the severity of our problems, but on the strength of our vision, the courage of our beliefs. There's a favorite story of mine on the Constitutional Convention. Toward the end, when it appeared that the convention would be successful, Ben Franklin observed to several of the members seated near him that he had often looked at the picture of the sun painted on the back of the president's chair. "I have," he said, "often looked at it without knowing if it is a rising or setting sun." And then he said, "But now at length, I have the happiness to know that it is a rising and not a setting sun." One of the great pleasures of my present job is that it so often brings me in events such as these in contact with the young people of America. And I can't tell you how often I've had the same certain knowledge that Ben Franklin had, because I look out on this, your generation, and see that it's one of the finest groups of young people this nation has ever seen. And I know that with young people like these, the cause of America and human freedom is rising and will continue to rise till it floods the whole world with its light. And in closing, I want to thank the Commission on the Bicentennial of the United States and those whose generosity made this event possible. And the moment you've all been waiting for, it's time to announce the national winner. Apparently there were two essays that were so good the judges couldn't decide between them. So they very judiciously decided to award two prizes. And they go to Liza Johnson and Mahbub Majumdar. I just want to leave you with one little word that I've used sometimes with young people before when I faced them about this Constitution, and now that all of you, through your efforts, are so familiar with it, maybe you've already figured this out, but if you haven't, just let me tell you. I've read a number of constitutions of other countries, including that of the Soviet Union, and was astonished to find guarantee of freedom of expression and assembly and so forth in all of those. And you find yourself thinking, well, then what makes ours so different? Why does ours work the way it does? And the answer is so simple that it almost escapes you, and yet it is so great that it explains the whole difference. Three words: we the people. All those other constitutions in the world are documents in which the government tells the people what they can do. And our Constitution is one in which we, the people, tell the government what it can do, and it can do nothing other than what is prescribed in that document. So if we can get the rest of the world to switch around someday, it'll be heaven on earth. Thank you all very much, and congratulations again. Thank you all.
This year, as we celebrate the 233rd anniversary of the signing of our Declaration of Independence, let us be inspired by President Reagan's remarks in 1988 when he said, "I am encouraging that schools, social clubs, and community organizations make it possible for local citizens who so desire to affirm their citizenship by taking this oath of citizenship. I do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and that I will well and faithfully discharge my duties and responsibilities as a citizen of the United States." Thank you for listening.
For more information on the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation and Institute, including information on how to become a member, information on upcoming exhibits at the Reagan Library, and more information on the legacy of President Reagan, please visit reaganfoundation.org. And don't forget to like and follow the Reagan Foundation on all social media platforms.
Until next week, thanks for listening, and God bless you.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Words to Live By podcast in your iTunes or Google Play stores and on other podcast platforms as they become available. New episodes of Words to Live By come out every Tuesday. Like what you hear? Check out our A Reagan Forum podcast featuring great speeches delivered at the Reagan Library. New episodes drop every Thursday. And don't forget to follow at Ronald Reagan on Facebook, at Ronald Reagan 40 on Twitter, and Reagan Foundation on YouTube. Also, search for us on SoundCloud and Stitcher.